It is another busy day for the fishermen. But then every day is busy when you make your living catching fish. Awake before the sun, their workday begins under the soft, scattered light of the stars. They load the heavy nets and weights into their boats, then push off from shore to join other boats full of hopeful men who squint into the sky and hold up a hand to see which direction the wind is blowing today. Eventually, the men drop anchor and heave their nets into the sea, hoping and praying that the catch will be a good one today. As the sun lifts itself higher and higher into position in the sky, the men's shoulders begin to burn from the heat and the heavy labor. They call out to one another, "James, how goes it today?" "Oh, Peter, the nets have torn again, and there goes our catch for the day." Peter nods, knowing the frustration of mending nets when there are fish to be caught and sold before this day ends and another begins. Day after day, it is the same thing over and over, but that's what they know, these men of the sea. This is the life they have lived since they were the age of their own sons, who will soon join them on the boats. Pack the supplies, heave the nets overboard, haul in the fish, mend the nets, sort the fish, return to shore, and start it all over again a few hours later. The same routine, disrupted only by sudden storms or still waters or unexpected injuries, but not much else. Until this day. On this day, Peter and Andrew, James and John and Zebedee are doing what they know. They are fishing. But as they fish and mend their nets, a solitary figure strides across the shore, his sandaled feet skimming the edges of the waves as they fizzle and sink into the sand. Peter nudges his brother Andrew as the figure comes closer. "Who is that?" he asks, and Andrew shrugs his shoulders. He has not seen this stranger before, although as he watches the man come toward them, his heart shudders and leaps like a fish caught in a net. The two brothers are alert now, watching, and then do their ears deceive them? The man calls out to them, "Follow me." And Peter and Andrew do not even hesitate. They drop their nets and they jump in the shallow water and they wade after the man who keeps on going, so sure of himself, so full of life. And as the two brothers scramble along behind, the man calls out to another boat. And it is the boat where James and John and their father Zebedee hunch over torn nets. And to these men, Jesus calls out, "Come, follow me." And just like Peter and Andrew, James and John drop everything and follow. Zebedee, the old man, he sits there befuddled in his boat full of fishing nets, but now empty of the sons who would mend them. We read the story of the calling of the disciples and think, wow, this is how it should be when Jesus calls to us. One clear, direct command from Jesus, and we are ready to drop everything and follow. It's so complicated and yet so simple. I mean, how can we say no to Jesus when his request is so clear, his charisma so compelling? And so the calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John becomes our barometer for how it should feel when Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts. And if we receive such a clear call, that's great. We may not know what we're getting into, but we can't help but follow. And maybe we're the ones on the other side thinking, "We didn't hear Jesus call us like that." Or, "What's wrong with me? I don't hear Jesus calling me like that." And we forget that there are only a few of the people, only a few of those who heard Jesus call out on that day, actually chose to drop everything and follow him. There were others who heard Jesus who chose to stay right where they were. "Follow me," Jesus said. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They left the boat and their father and followed him. I've read and heard this passage on the calling of the disciples so many times I've lost count, and yet last week during our discussion of this passage in Sunday school, I felt as though I was hearing it for the first time, and it's all because of those three little words, "and their father." Zebedee was in the boat that day with his sons. Zebedee heard the voice of Jesus calling, "Follow me." But he didn't follow. He chose to stay in the boat right where he was, where he had been, where he probably would be for a long, long time now that his sons were gone. Because when James and John jumped ship, there went Zebedee's plan for retirement right out into the deep end, so to speak. So should Zebedee be faulted for his choice to stay with the boat? I mean, someone had to stay behind and take care of the family business, after all. Well, maybe Zebedee just wasn't ready to answer the call at that moment. Maybe the next time Jesus came through town, Zebedee reacted in a different way, and maybe Zebedee was never ready to drop his nets and go. You know, not every person is ready to just drop everything in their lives like Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow where Jesus leads. And maybe that's okay. Some people hear the call of Jesus loud and clear, and others take a little more time. And some people choose to follow Jesus in this drop everything kind of manner, while others find their place on the path in more quiet and subtle ways. And who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Who's to say there is only one way to follow Jesus? And just because Jesus is the one way does not mean there is only one way to follow him. There are people who follow the call of Jesus to go to other countries and live, who put themselves in places of danger in order to share the gospel with people who otherwise would not hear it. And there are those of us, and I include myself in here, who just aren't cut out for that kind of life. And I'd like to think that there is a place in this whole big wide world for both kinds of people. I'd like to think that some of us follow Jesus like Peter and Andrew and James and John by casting caution to the wind and jumping into it feet first. And I think that some of us choose to answer the call of Jesus as Zebedee did, by staying put and holding down the fort. I think it takes all kinds of people and all kinds of faithfulness to make the world go round. Now, Zebedee could have tried to stop his sons. "Hey, what about me? You can't leave here and let me do all the work." He lets James and John go, and he stays with the boat so his sons can follow Jesus in their way while he follows Jesus in his own. Jesus doesn't expect all of us to answer the call to follow in the exact same way as everyone else. Jesus says, "Follow me." And we have to decide just what that means. It is not the last time that Zebedee sees his sons, and it is not the last time that Zebedee sees Jesus. For much of Jesus' ministry will take place in that area of Galilee, and Zebedee's family is forever tied to the ministry of Jesus. A few years later, there is another scene, this one quite different from the blazing hot day on the sea when Jesus, so full of promise and life, strode powerfully across the sand, causing grown men to leap from their boats with excitement and hope. In this other scene, the strong and life-giving body of Jesus hangs broken and limp on a cross. And there, not far away, is a group of people, not fishermen this time, but women. Women who have followed Jesus all over the countryside, in the background, taking care of him and his disciples. And in this group of women, according to Matthew, is the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Zebedee's wife, the mother of James and John, has also become a follower of Jesus somewhere along the way, and yet in her very own way. How does Jesus call to you? For call you he does, in a voice that carries across the sea and in the echo of the quiet wake that follows and in the last whisper of breath as he hangs on a cross. He does ask us to follow. And how will you choose to follow when you hear that call? We have work to do, you and I. It's a busy day for us fisher folk. But then every day is busy when you make a living catching people. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, you give the call, follow me. You say, and we have to decide how to answer that. And we don't have to answer in the way that everyone else does. We only have to answer in the way that you call us. Lord, give us courage to follow, even when that means staying put and living a faithful life right here. We offer ourselves to you in the name of the one who gives us life and in whose name we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.